Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Good afternoon and welcome. This is your host, Keith Henry, naturopath, and welcome again to our Sunday edition of Blue Zone Wellness, where we'll be talking about the week in natural news. Thank you for joining us here at Blue Zone Wellness on Blog Talk Radio. And as usual, Dr. Orit Morgan will be joining me here shortly. And we will be talking about four interesting topics, four interesting articles that came out this week. Very interesting articles. We'll be talking about how to use activated charcoal, a remedy, if you will, that's very near and dear to the hearts of many natural practitioners, especially once you understand how to use it effectively. The article we'll be talking about tonight with regard to activated charcoal is how to use activated charcoal to remove toxins and to reduce cholesterol. We'll also be looking at an article that came out this week that talks about a new study that found major toxins in many of the cosmetics that our women are using. Another article we'll be talking about is the one that, if you received our email or our Facebook notification, the article talking about 43% of Americans damage their brain by making this mistake. It's going to be very interesting, and you'll be able to hear in and listen to see whether or not you are one of the Americans that are making this mistake. Finally, we'll also be talking about an article that came out this week as well about a new strain of MRSA, staph, which is commonly known. A new strain of MRSA has been discovered that, of course, is antibiotic resistant. And it's been found in both human beings as well as dairy cows, which is not necessarily good news, not something that we like to hear. But granted, we have natural remedies that have proven themselves to be very effective, even against tough cases of staph infection. Now, if you're listening in, our guest call-in number is 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. Or if you wish, you can log in to blogtalkradio.com/Blue Zone Wellness, and you can listen in or go to our chat page and you can send in a comment or a message and chat with me here during the broadcast if you have a question or a comment. Also, we will be talking about some of our plans to restart our Wednesday programming, which deals primarily with typically talking about a condition or maybe a particular substance or herb and how it's to be used. We have some plans in the future to perhaps bring that back. Just a second here while I bring in Dr. Morgan. Dr. Morgan, are you there?
Oh, hi, Dr. Henry. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm doing good. And yourself?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to be back.
Good, and I was just telling the listeners that some of the articles that we would be covering this evening. Also, just like to, again, welcome all of the listeners, because this is a internet broadcast. We realize that not only do we have listeners here in the United States, but we have listeners from all around the world. So, again, we'd like to let you know that if you want to call in, you can do so with a question or a comment at 917-889-2207, or you can send in a chat. We are at blogtalkradio.com/Blue Zone Wellness. And you can send me a message on chat, or you can make a comment on chat if you go to that that show page. Now, we'll be right back after this to get started with our first article right after this.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening. We're here at Blue Zone Wellness on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Myself and host Dr. Orit Morgan, and we welcome you to our Sunday evening edition. And again, we'll be discussing and analyzing four different articles that we came across this week. And as I've already mentioned those articles, and so we'll start off with an article that, as I said earlier, is very near and dear to the hearts of many natural practitioners. And this article was published on June the 1st at naturalnews.com. And it was entitled, "Use Activated Charcoal to Remove Toxins and Reduce Cholesterol." And the author goes in the article, and he says, as long ago as 1550 BC, activated charcoal was documented for use in treating medical conditions. He goes on to say that it has been used by North American Indians to treat bruises, inflammation, and skin infections. Activated charcoal has also been reported to help lower cholesterol, triglycerides, and lipids found in the blood. Now, before we go on further in this article, Dr. Morgan, I am sure, I haven't asked you, but I am sure that activated charcoal is definitely high on your list of natural remedies.
You're so right, Dr. Henry. While I will say that it's not a cure-all, it's not a panacea, however, it's one of the most helpful things that you can have around the house, because it is helpful in alleviating, treating, and even preventing so many ills. So sure enough, something as simple as charcoal, it is not toxic. You cannot easily overdose yourself on it, because there is no chemical in charcoal that you could say, well, okay, I'm taking in too much. And it's so relatively easy to make. You can just burn a piece of wood. Right, and sure, you might not get the activated one that way, but that charcoal can still be very effective if you're in a situation. And plus, it is inexpensive. So sure, it's one that is way up on my list. As a matter of fact, years gone by, I don't know if they still do it now, Dr. Henry, but they would fine any hospital who does not have charcoal in their emergency room area. Why? Because it is so widely used in hospital for emergencies, say vomiting, certain drug overdose, you know, and other things. So it's really high on my list, and it's near and dear to my heart, just like how it is to yours.
Definitely, definitely. Activated charcoal, to anyone that's listening, is something that you would be very wise to have in your house. I've had the opportunity to use it personally at home for things such as fire ant bites and, poisonings and many other different things. It is definitely something, as Dr. Morgan pointed out, that's not expensive, and I think that every home should have activated charcoal and it should be easily accessible. Now, the article went on to say that activated.
Before you say that, you know, you just make a point there that every home, you know, what comes across my mind is that if every hospital emergency room has charcoal, why shouldn't every home have charcoal? We save a lot of emergency room bills in the sense if we use the charcoal when it's necessary, when the emergency arrives, we would save thousands of dollars from running to the, by not going having to go to the emergency room.
That's so true. So now it becomes not only a health issue, but also an economic issue.
And definitely.
Now, it's interesting that he goes on to point out in this article, and it's in line with what you just pointed out with regard to how they use it in emergency rooms to help detoxify the body of some drugs. The author goes on to say that it is very effective in detoxing and eliminating toxins and poisonous substances from the body. It is also able to adsorb many different pharmaceutical drugs, including pharmaceutical drugs. And then he points out it also can adsorb opium, cocaine, morphine, different pesticides, including DDT, other chemicals, mercury, and even lead. So here we have a relatively inexpensive remedy, if you will, and it can be, and as he pointed out, as Dr. Morgan pointed out, it's used in hospitals, and the author points out at some of the things that it contributes to detoxify, or it can detox the body. Finally, he goes on to say that activated charcoal can be used to treat skin ailments, diarrhea, bad breath, constipation, and body odor. It can be used as a poultice to treat insect stings, mushroom poisonings, poison ivy, cholera, dysentery, bites, and inflammation. It can also be used to treat snake bites in an emergency. Babies born with jaundice, he says, have been known to be treated with activated charcoal as well. And it's very interesting. In this last part of the paragraph, he goes on to say that some people report that using activated charcoal when they have flu or other viruses help them to recover quicker. The reason for this, the author says, the reason for this is that it is able to prevent viruses and bacteria from remaining active in the body while absorbing a great deal of their toxins before they have a chance to spread or multiply. Finally, he says, studies have shown that activated charcoal even has anti-aging properties. It helps improve liver, adrenal gland, and kidney function with regular use. Those suffering from digestive ailments such as indigestion, bloating, or gas can benefit from activated charcoal because the charcoal enters the digestive tract and absorbs excess gas which may be present there. It also improves the function of the liver, heart, and brain and helps to decrease cholesterol levels and the risk of coronary artery disease. And so basically the things that the author points out in the article are things that many people traditionally would not have thought that activated charcoal has been and can be used for. But, you know, as more and more people use it for different things and they find that it's beneficial in some of these other areas, many of the other uses that may not have been thought about in the past become clearer and clearer as different people use it for different things and get different benefits.
You're so right, Dr. Henry, because one of my favorite somewhat experience with charcoal has to do with one of my family members. My wife and I only daughter among our five children. When she was about 4 years old, had an emergency need for charcoal. And the reason for that is in our home back then, we had difficulty with our children eating their vegetable salad, raw vegetable salad. And so we instituted a rule that in order for the children to have the main core of their meal, they would, you know, the things they like, the tofu and the veggie steak and all of those things, they would need to eat their vegetable salad first. So our daughter, Melissa, who graduated over the weekend from high school, she decided that she wasn't going to eat her dinner, her vegetable salad that evening. And we put her to the test. After about an hour at the table, we said, well, Melissa, mealtime is over. Your next meal will be tomorrow morning. And you'll be eating that vegetable salad because it will be placed right in front of you. Well, the following morning, she got up and, sure, she had a tummy ache. And she came to me and said, Daddy, my tummy's hurting me. I said, well, because you have gas pain now. So I said, you know what to do. Dr. Henry, she went, mixed a teaspoon of charcoal in a little distilled water, because we use distilled water, and she drank it and went and lay down. And in about 15 minutes, she came back all smiling, no more pain.
And you know, I had a instance or an experience. One experience I had with charcoal was we had returned one evening late from church, and we lived out a piece, you know, out of the city, and when my wife had gotten out of the vehicle and didn't realize that she was standing in a nest or a bed rather of fire ants. But as you might recognize, she became notified very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And, definitely. And so by the time we were able to get the fire ants off of her, I was outside with the dog. I told her to go ahead and go in, and I would be in a second. And, of course, by this time, her flesh was stinging and on fire. And so basically I just took some charcoal and had her put her foot over into the sink, and I rubbed the charcoal on the bites with water mixed in while the water was running. Almost immediately, the stinging stopped. And so after that, there was just itching. She was itching really,
yeah,
bad. And so what I did was I then took some tea tree oil,
right,
and simply sprayed the tea tree oil in the area where the itching was. And in a matter of maybe 5 minutes or less, it was like it never even happened.
Okay.
So you know, many people, you know, they're attacked by, you know, fire ants. Many times people, and, you know, some people may have allergic reactions to some of these things. But it's interesting, you know, sometimes people who don't have allergic reactions will still be carted off to the emergency room. And when you have a remedy like that is as useful as charcoal, activated charcoal is, as you mentioned earlier, many, 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 many times you can evade going to the doctor or going to the emergency room simply by having these things on hand and having the knowledge on how to use them. If you're listening in to Blue Zone Wellness here on Blog Talk Radio, and if you would like to call in with a question or comment, the call-in number is 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. We're also here on chat. If you go to blogtalkradio.com/Blue Zone Wellness, if you have a question or a comment for either myself or Dr. Morgan, you can send in that question or that comment. We thank you for listening, and we'll be right back after this brief message.
Do you or a loved one wear hearing aids or glasses? How about a cochlear implant? Need extra help keeping them in place? The Ear Connection has just what you've been looking for. They have retention products for every need, including oral atresia or microtia. They have adjustable straps, clips, and hair berets that attach to your hearing device, glasses, or both. Go to GetSafeAndSound.com today. That's GetSafe, the letter N, Sound.com today. They're just what you've been looking for.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches, and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Keith Henry, ND. Together hosting with me today is Dr. Aurette Morgan, ND. We just finished talking about our first article that we would be mentioning and analyzing and talking about on the use of activated charcoal. And now we'll move on to our next article, which I indicated earlier.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, go on.
Yeah. Can I just recommend a book on that? I don't know if you carry it, but it would be good if you do also. But in the meantime, the book is RX Charcoal. You know of that one, right?
I do. I actually have a copy of it. It's an excellent book.
Yes, exactly. It's one I believe every house. If I were Nebuchadnezzar, I wouldn't pass a law that everyone worship God. I would pass a law that every house has to have charcoal and that book.
It is definitely both of those issues are definitely something that every house needs to have, because having activated charcoal and then having the book gives you a whole new outlook on how to use it, and it can be right at your fingertips.
Yes, yes.
As we go on to our next article. The next article is one interesting article that came out this week, June the 3rd, 2011. And the article is entitled, "New Strain of MRSA Discovered, Antibiotic-Resistant Bacteria Found in Both Humans and Dairy Cows." And now the MRSA is commonly known as staph, you know, the staph infection. And the article started off by saying the study led by Dr. Mark Holmes at the University of Cambridge identified the new strain in milk from dairy cows while researching mastitis, which is a bacterial infection which occurs in the cow's udders. The new strain's genetic makeup differs greatly from previous strains, the article continues, which means that the gold standard molecular test currently used to identify MRSA do not detect this new strain. And it goes on to say the research findings are published in the journal The Lancet Infectious Diseases. Now, for the listeners, you have to understand MRSA is a very dangerous, even deadly bacteria. And this is not good news when we hear and understand that MRSA antibiotic resistant strain now, and now they're telling us that they even having problems being able to detect it. Now this is, and Dr. Morgan, you know very well that this is not something new, and it comes about as a result of the overuse of antibiotics. Did you agree?
Oh, you're so right. We've said it before in seminars, and I don't know if we've said it here on this on one of our programs, but the culprit in this, number one, are parents or adults who either go to the doctor for their own personal care as a result of having a cold or the flu, or take their children. And some of us, once we go to the doctor, for even something as simple as a cold, we believe that if the doctor doesn't prescribe a medication for us, then he didn't really do his job. And, you know, the doctor just took our money without providing any care. So doctors have been under pressure, one from their patients to prescribe antibiotics for a cold that their patient is having, and also from the drug company, which sell more, make more sales once the doctor make the prescription, write the prescription. And as a result of taking these drugs, then our bodies become immune to it. Not only that, but in the case of MRSA, just like many other bacteria, they develop a new strain that become very resistant. It's just like spraying a roach or the roaches with a certain bug spray. After a while, a strain of them is going to develop which is resistant to that spray. And so in addition to what I mentioned, that yes, through the too commonly use of antibiotic to treat things like cold, which is caused by a virus and not a bacteria, therefore antibiotics should not be prescribed for colds or flus. Also, in the raising of the chickens and the cows, the farm animals, they use, Dr. Henry, as you and I discussed many a times, but for the benefit of the public, they use so much antibiotics that also these animals sometimes develop a strain of bacteria that is very resistant to some of the most powerful bacteria that we have out there. So when we go to the doctor and he prescribes that bacteria, we're not able to fight it off.
That's true. And you know something that you mentioned there that I find very interesting, which it seems almost criminal, is the fact that science knows, doctors know, that no antibiotic can do anything against the virus.
Right.
And yet they will prescribe antibiotics for colds and flus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking, okay, if you understand that colds and flus are not helped by antibiotics, what would be the logical purpose of prescribing antibiotics that you understand and know have no effect against viruses which cause colds and flus? It makes no sense. Now, these men are very intelligent men and women, the doctors, the scientists, and so you would have to ask yourself, why would such intelligent men and women prescribe drugs that they well know have no beneficial effect on a cold or flu?
Can I beg to differ with you on something there?
Yes.
You said, you and I know what you're saying, but I'm going to counter something you just said there. You said doctors are very intelligent men and women. I beg to differ. Right. And the reason I beg to differ, I'm sure nobody could get into medical school, you know, scoring B's, you know, a grade point average of 3. You know,
right.
You're not going to get to medical school. You get to medical school by having a grade point average of above 3.5.
Right.
You know, straight A's and stuff like that, extra credit and things like that. And generally, we look at those people, and most people say, oh, you know, they are very smart. Yeah. But let's think about how many people process things. Right? They read, and for many doctors or a young student going through medical school, the fact that they're making straight A's, Dr. Henry, does not mean that they're smart or they're intelligent, because sometimes they are mere reflectors of men's thoughts. In other words, they are good recorders of what's said in class. Right?
Correct.
Like
that's true.
Photographic memory. And a case in point, I'll say, how many of us, right, who have been raised, right, in rural societies where people ate a lot of carbohydrate, but complex carbohydrate, and 50, 60 years ago, many people, very few people, had diabetes compared to today. And yet people will go to medical school and a professor stand there and say, oh, starch is what causes diabetes. And when they look back and remember, if they should remember in their community, people were eating complex carbohydrates, didn't have diabetes. But yet that young medical student, graduated as a doctor, will run with it and say, well, listen, yes, starch is what caused diabetes. You know,
right.
So they are good reflectors of men's thought, have photographic memory, but few doctors are really intelligent to say, well, listen, if I prescribe this antibiotic for a virus, what I'm doing is creating a strain of virus, helping to create a strain of bacteria that will be resistant to most of these antibiotics. So let me not do this, right? Most of them don't have that intelligence to look at, to prevent a long-term problem that we are going to have. All they are looking at, well, listen, my patient needs it, or the drug company wants me to write this prescription, and they go ahead. That, in my book, that's not intelligence.
I wholeheartedly agree. So basically what it boils down to then is, and I agree, is that you have many people who go to schools or colleges, and in many cases, they are not taught how to think for themselves, in most cases, but simply to regurgitate what other men's thoughts or ideas. Now, it's interesting to me that in this article, they went on to say that one of the researchers, which also is something that I find a little, a little bit disingenuous, it says that Dr. Laura Garcia Alvarez, the first author of the paper who discovered the new strain while a PhD student at the University of Cambridge's veterinary school, said, quote, "To find the same new strain in both humans and cows is certainly worrying. However, pasteurization of milk will prevent any risk of infection via the food chain." And, I mean, I understand that perspective, but at the same time, you know, what we have here is, okay, pasteurization of milk, but you still have people that eat cows. And so if you're going to say, well, pasteurization kills it, what about those people that eat the cows and still, and now, so you still have, and I understand that they put all these other things in it, you know, to so-called treat and make the flesh safe. But the fact of the matter is they really can't guarantee that this bacteria is not still alive. And we all know, I'm sure you and I both have seen the videos and the documentaries done where a lot of this meat passes through the FDA inspection, and I've even seen interviews with former or current FDA inspectors who they won't eat the flesh themselves because they realize that, you know, they spot check the flesh. So all of it, you know, we have people thinking that, okay, they're looking after my meat. My meat is clean. My meat is properly, it's proper to be eaten. When in fact they spot, it's not possible for them to check all of the flesh. So they have to spot check it. And when you spot checking that much flesh, it's not possible that you can do it's not possible to be able to do the type of job that you would need to do to make sure all of that meat is safe to be consumed by consumers.
I totally agree, Dr. Henry, because we as a public have been given a false security. We think that when these inspectors go to the dairy house or when they go to the slaughterhouse, they go through every cow, the carcasses of every cow, every chicken, or whatever that was killed. Just as you say, it's spot check. In other words, for even a cow, they inspect. They don't even spend 30 seconds good on one of those cows, you know, that was slaughtered. And we know also that there's a lot of payoff. We've seen videos, we've seen documentary on it, a lot of payoff that take place at times, because you're talking about, in some cases, tens of thousands of dollars are at stake. So you are perfectly right when you said that, yes, The one of the authors of the study is being disingenuous by saying that, well, no danger seen. It was the same thing that they said about the BIV virus, bovine immunodeficiency virus, in 1991 that they found, they discovered, Wall Street Journal reported, in the about 8% of the American cows. And they quickly said in the article, no danger seen. And this is just to quiet the fear, the possible fear out there that will come about, and therefore people not buying the red meat, not eating chicken or drinking milk. Remember when Oprah Winfrey said that she would not eat any more burgers, or the Amarillo Cattlemen Association took her to court immediately.
Exactly, I remember that. And you know, it's interesting that even in this article that we're looking at here, the article, Dr. Holmes added, quote, although there is circumstantial evidence that dairy cows are providing a reservoir of infection, it is still not known for certain if cows are infecting people or people are infecting cows. This is one of the many things we will be looking into next. Now, you know, it seems to me that if we know that the cows have MRSA, and we know that it's a strain, according to them, that they have difficulty even detecting by their own admittance, and the article says, and the gold standard is used to detect MRSA cannot detect this strain.
Right.
So if that's the case, but they acknowledge that the cows have the MRSA, and it seems to me that if the cows have it, and if I eat it, as you said earlier, you know, it seems to me if I eat it, we can, instead of saying it's circumstantial evidence, I think it would be wiser to say you can safely assume that the probability is pretty good that you're at a higher risk if you're eating these animals that we know are infected with this bacteria. And I think as you said, if there are other interests who stand to lose tens of thousands of dollars, or even hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars, then, as you say, what happened with Oprah Winfrey. And I can remember when they came out with that case, their argument was that, well, she's a person which has a lot of influence, and she should have known by making a statement like that that her influence would pretty much hurt their industry.
All right. And it's, as we say over and over on this program, it's primarily all about money. Because you remember last year when they were also battling the H1, the so-called H1N1, the swine flu?
Right.
Remember, easily, the first thing, one of the first statements, they came out and said, we should not have any fear of eating pork. Right? Because this has nothing to do with the pig. So they quickly changed the name from swine flu to H1N1. Now, how many of us know what H1N1 means? Right?
We're
eating pork. Right? Getting swine flu all about the place. But if they said, well, oh, it's swine flu, you know what's going to happen? Every time we think about anything with pork, we're going to have second thought. But H1N1, we'll just continue eating pork because, as they said, they did not want it to affect the pork industry.
That's right. And you remember when the issue came out with the bird flu, you know, they quickly ran and said, oh, but there's no danger in eating, you know, there's no danger in eating them. And I'm saying, so wait a minute now. And then you really didn't hear the term. They begin to even try to change the term bird flu to something else, you know, and try whenever they would refer to it, because, you know, people say, you know. And when you think about it, instead of saying chicken flu, because that was what most people were getting.
That's what it was. It wasn't bird flu. It was chicken flu.
Because remember during the news reports, when they first came out of China, most of what they were showing all of these chickens. And then, you know, it now becomes bird flu. And if you're listening in today, we are talking, myself, this is Dr. Henry and Dr. Morgan. We're talking about, at this point, we were talking about some of the new resistant strains of MRSA, commonly known as staph, that have been detected in cows as well as in humans. And, you know, it's resistant, basically meaning that there's no antibiotic that can basically do anything beneficial to smash out or crush out the life of the bacteria. Now, if you...
Dr. Henry, hold on there. Well, you know, it's two things at stake there. One, as you earlier pointed out, they are not able to use the gold standard that easily to detect this bacteria, you know, this new strain of the MRSA. So in other words, there can be a lot of milk out there on the market that has it in, and we are drinking that milk without knowing because the milk was pretty much passed as being safe. But
exactly.
Because this thing is evading even the very gold standard that they use to find out if milk or whatever source has MRSA in it. That is telling you and I, and hopefully our listening public, that a lot of the milk on the shelf could be contaminated with this new strain. Secondly, is the fact that they are saying there's no antibiotic that they have now to treat it. So do we want to take the chance of really using their product? I sure wouldn't.
I know I wouldn't either. And if you're listening in, this is Blue Zone Wellness on Blog Talk Radio. We have about 20 minutes left on the show. If you want to call in, you can call in at 917-889-2207. Or if you want to send us a message on your chat, you can do so. We only have about 20 minutes left. And the next article, right after we come back from this break, we'll be talking about that one thing that 43% of Americans do to damage their brain. And you may be one of them. We'll be right back after this brief message.
Do you or a loved one wear hearing aids or glasses? How about a cochlear implant? Need extra help keeping them in place? The Ear Connection has just what you've been looking for. They have retention products for every need, including oral atresia or microtia. They have adjustable straps, clips, and hair berets that attach to your hearing device, glasses, or both. Go to GetSafeAndSound.com today. That's GetSafe, the letter N, Sound.com today. They're just what you've been looking for.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches, and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Welcome back. I'm Keith Henry, your host, as well as Dr. Orit Morgan. We're hosting today our show, our Sunday edition, here on Blue Zone Wellness at Blog Talk Radio, talking about the week in natural news ending the week of 6/4/2011. We have about 15 minutes left in the show. And the next article, Dr. Morgan, is 43% of Americans damage their brain by making this one mistake. And this mistake is simply, this mistake is simply something that we've talked about in the past. We haven't talked about it in great detail, but we have to some extent. This mistake is simply not getting the correct amount of sleep. Interesting. Now, the article says that sleep deprivation in our days and time is a chronic condition. And it goes on to say it's very interesting when we look at what it says here. We show here in this article that it can affect not getting enough sleep, interrupted or impaired sleep can do. I look at briefly five things that the article points out. And one is it can dramatically weaken your immune system. That's impaired sleep or interrupted sleep. It can increase your risk of heart disease. It can aggravate or make you more susceptible to stomach ulcers. It can raise your blood pressure. It can worsen constipation. That's the first part of it. Now, under the immune system part, under the part about dramatically weakening your immune system, it says it increase your risk of cancer because it, of course, it lessens the ability of your immune system to fight off disease. It can also accelerate tumor growth. And it goes on to say when your circadian rhythms are disrupted, your body produces less melatonin, a hormone and an antioxidant, which decreases your ability to fight cancer and thereby promotes tumor growth. So think about it, Dr. Morgan. We've talked about, you know, the laws of health. We've talked about, you know, the trust in the Creator, the sunshine, the exercise, the water, the air, the rest, the diet, the self-control, and the temperance. And here, one of those, what we call the laws of health, is talking about getting uninterrupted sleep or sleep that's not impaired by any way. And one of the chief things that they talk about is that not getting enough sleep lessens the immune system. Lessens the ability of the immune system to fight cancer or any other diseases and thereby increases your risk of cancer, thereby accelerates tumor growth if you have a tumor, disrupts your circadian rhythms in the body, produces less melatonin, which itself is a hormone, and an antioxidant, which helps fight cancer and thereby decreases tumor growth. Just that one thing, just from getting or not getting the correct amount of uninterrupted or unimpaired sleep. Do you have anything to speak to on that in particular?
Yes, Dr. Henry, without a shadow of a doubt, as I listened to you and analyzing what you were saying, something came across my mind. You know, I don't have the brain of a rocket scientist. I sure know I wouldn't have made it maybe in Harvard or Yale or Oxford. And I lift my cap, so to speak, to men and women who've gone there and who've come back be able to help us put a man on the moon, a rover on Mars, and things like that. And so this is a no. I salute the achievement that we've made through the advance of science, you know, in the area of technology and so on. But there are times when I believe we act irresponsibly because we go against nature. And what I mean, I believe that Thomas Edison did a very great thing in inventing the light bulb. Make no
right.
excuse for that. It has helped. But I think we have abused it. And
right.
what I'm saying is they don't make the connection, but I believe one of the greatest causes of Alzheimer's, memory problem too, right, is the lack of rest, of proper sleep.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Right?
No doubt about it.
I have no problem in us having light bulbs in our homes. We should. I don't believe we should have a house that, you know, we don't have light at night. But if you notice, God makes a day that consists of 24 hours, and practically 12 of it is dark.
Right.
Now, the fact that 12 hours of it is dark, obviously, that is telling us that God intended for us to sleep. And I don't think mankind had any much problem falling asleep until when man invented light. And while I don't think it was a bad invention, I think what we've done is abuse it over the years, right?
I agree.
To the point now where our television, we're on the internet for whatever amount of hours and you name it, and so therefore we are not getting enough rest. Not getting enough rest means that, well, we are unable to handle stress and the stresses and the challenges of life. When we go to work, we're more quick to go off the deep end, fire off at our fellow employees, right? Family, the agitation from family members, spouse, children, we're unable to cope with because we didn't get enough rest the previous night. Even our dexterity, our ability, right, to concentrate, and so many other things are affected. So I believe the half has not been told about how lack of rest, sleep deprivation, is affecting the human race.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because later on in the article, you mentioned that you believed that sleep was, or lack of sleep, or lack of proper rest, was connected to Alzheimer's disease. And as a fact, and later on in the article, the author points out, and this article was at Mercola.com. He's a natural practitioner. He's a DO. But his emphasis is on natural medicine. He mentions that in this article that according to a report in the Journal of the American Medical Association, lack of sleep can further exacerbate other serious and chronic diseases, and listen at the ones that they list. Now, this is directly from the Journal of the American Medical Association. It can exacerbate other serious and chronic diseases such as Parkinson's, gastrointestinal tract disorders, Alzheimer's disease, kidney disease, multiple sclerosis, and behavioral problems in children.
Exactly.
And so, in fact, as you mentioned, there is a direct connection between Alzheimer's disease and lack of appropriate, in this particular case, they're talking about lack of sleep, i.e. rest, because, you know, that's part of rest. Now, in the section where he mentioned about lack of sleep can increase your risk of heart disease, they go on to say that it can harm your brain by halting new cell production. Sleep deprivation can increase levels of cortisterone, a stress hormone, resulting in fewer new brain cells being created in your hippocampus. And so here now, it can begin to, as the article indicated, affect your brain and actually help destroy brain cells, and thereby lessening your intelligence and also lessening your ability to not exhibit criminal behavior, and as you said earlier, immoral behavior by, you know, being impatient, easily stressed out, you know, exploding on your coworkers, exploding on your wife or husband, exploding on your children, etc. And then too, in some of its more extreme cases, when you combine lack of rest, being deficient in nutrients, people, you know, sink down into just pure criminal behavior.
Yes. You are so right on that, and I do know that when we miss, say, for example, proper rest, it takes a while for the body to really recuperate, even if the following night we were supposed to, say, get 12 hours sleep. It still wouldn't make up for that 3-4 hours that we missed the night before, because sleep lost is not easily the benefits lost is not really regained that easily. So here we are looking at a society, no wonder the report showed that roughly 25% of us Americans take some form of anti-stress medication.
Wow.
25%.
And that's pretty significant.
Okay. Very much so. Go ahead.
You know, and he goes on to say in the article that lack of sleep can aggravate or make you more susceptible to stomach ulcers, and it says it contributes also to a pre-diabetic state, making you feel hungry even if you've already eaten, which can wreak havoc on your weight. Finally, he says it contributes to premature aging by interfering with your growth hormone production, normally released by your pituitary gland during sleep and during certain types of exercise. Growth hormone helps you look and feel younger.
That is so true, Dr. Henry. And I know, especially for women, and we men too, it matters, but especially for women, we love to know that women love to know that they look younger than their age.
It is an
established fact that people who live the nightlife, like they party a lot, and parties mostly happen at night, right? They generally over a period of time look older than they really are.
But it's not only
people who party. Those of us who for whatever reason work the graveyard shift, work the 3 to 11 shift. We generally also tend to age faster. So I'm appealing especially to our ladies. And men, your wives. If you want that person to look younger, encourage them and help them to get in bed by 9 o'clock.
Right. So they want to preserve her, right?
Exactly. Want to preserve her. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Now, it's interesting. The article goes on to point out that... we're down to about 4 minutes here, so I'll kind of speed up here. The article goes on to point out that lack of sleep affects short-term memory, and it talks about how, for instance, it says, if your internal clock isn't functioning properly, it causes the release of too much GABA, G-A-B-A. According to a previous study, an excess of GABA inhibits your brain in a way that leads to short-term memory problems and the inability to retain new information.
Quickly on that. Then we have people who said, but I go to school. I have to study. What would you say about that one, Dr. Henry, quickly? How would you advise someone on that level then? Okay, as far as going to bed?
Well, the ideal is to go to bed earlier and get up earlier.
Exactly. You know what would happen? If they go to bed early and say go anywhere from 9, and get up at 3 and study from there or do their homework, it will take them about half the time, that homework, to study, right, as it would have taken them if they had tried to do it before they went to bed.
You're so right, and I've experienced that. I've experienced that when I find myself up unwisely up late at night trying to get some work done, and if I put that work down and wait and go ahead and go to sleep and get up the next morning and do it, I can work a lot more. I can work a lot faster. I can work a lot more pointedly. And without having, you make with a lot less mistakes as well.
Oh, that is so true. And you go back to what they said, the short-term memory. And that's something I have, over the years, plead with people. I said that, listen, it will affect your short-term memory, because what they found out is people who don't get enough rest and especially try to study before they go to bed, then even though they remember the material before going to bed, by the time the exam comes, they forget a lot of it.
Right. Now, if you're listening here, we're down to 1 minute here at Blue Zone Wellness. And if you've been listening in, myself and Dr. Oret Morgan have been discussing some of the news articles with respect to natural health and just our news articles in general. And we, again, when we discuss and analyze these articles, we do it from the perspective of natural health practitioners. We thank you for listening in, and we invite you to join us Sundays at 7 p.m., and you can do that live. If you miss the live show at this point and in the future, you can always go to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm sorry, blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. And you can log in, and I would advise you to become a member and follow the show on there. And you can listen at the show on demand. So if you're anywhere in the world, you can do that. And so tell your friends and family members about the shows, and that they can log in and listen, and you can download them and burn the shows to CDs or whatnot. Dr. Morgan, you mentioned last time about your vegetarian line of food, and I think you said you were maybe a month or two away. Can you, in these last 30 seconds or so, let our listeners know just where you are with that?
We're coming on. We should be within a month or two be able to some foods on the market. So we will definitely announce where we'll be starting in Central Florida, but eventually our goal is to be all across the country with it.
Okay, and right now if they want to order something, we have about 10 seconds. Can they contact the show, and the next time we'll give them more information on just how to get a hold of you if they want to order something.
Right, definitely.
Thank you for joining us. Good night.
Thank you, and wish you a wonderful week, you and our listeners, and God bless.
Thank you.